Yeah, it's funny. We didn't have a plan to call it that. Well, me and Bianca, who runs kind of everything, she and I were talking about the song Fat Man. And in the song Fat Man, I say bipolar roller coaster. So I don't know. Maybe it was her that came up with it. And she thought, wouldn't that be... Or she mentioned something about, oh, God, it's going to be the bipolar roller coaster. And I'm like, dude. It either went that way or the opposite way. But I know it was funny. And we thought, oh, that'll be so cute. But I didn't know she'd actually do it.
Let's
and then all of a sudden,
fun.
One day, I saw the pictures, and then I saw the shirts themselves, and I laughed. I thought that was great.
It's like taming your demons.
I don't know. I guess trying to laugh at them a little bit, yeah, mm-hmm. Right?
You decided to start the concert in a very unusual way. Is it how you do it on your tour?
Mm. We do a different show every night, so I never know until I get to the venue, or mm-hmm. kind of like just play what, you know, we want to play that night, and then... Yeah.
But the way you started the show was absolutely incredible.
Mm.
Everybody was just...
Thanks. It's fun to come in from the back sometimes. It kind of breaks the ice, I think, a little bit, you know?
Well, it also shows that you're really close to the audience. You're not afraid of these people.
I mean, I am afraid of people. I really am. But when I'm doing this, I'm not, unless my mind isn't working right. If my mind's not working right, then I think... Oh, God, they hate the show. They're really disappointed they came. They want to leave, but they don't want to hurt my feelings, so they're forcing themselves to stay. So that actually is a very common way my head goes. But then sometimes when I'm more balanced, like this tour has been pretty good, but I still got stage fright tonight in the middle of the show. I thought, oh, they hate this frickin' show. Oh, yeah, man. So I trip like that a lot. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of my songs... will not always have one thing I'm pulling from. Like, there's this song called Try a Little Harder on the new record, and I'm pulling from three things. I'm pulling from my father's adoration and brilliance at being a baccarat player in frickin' Vegas for years in the 70s, and then my manic love for the music business, but then my favorite thing is playing cards. So it's all about, yeah, so there's three spots to pull from, kinda. Mm-hmm.
What about Batwoman Blues? It's just such a fun song.
It is fun. It's so naughty. Yes. What I love about her, like the character of her, is she knows she's never going to be a good girl. She wants to be a good girl, but she knows she cannot. So how she deals with it is she says, frick it. I'm a bad girl, but baby, I am fun, 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 fun. And you are going to have a good time with me, you know?
Oh, yeah, we do.
So it's a cute, I like it. I wrote the music and the lyrics mm-hmm. on my own to seven of the songs on the record. And then there's a few other songs that are co-writes. So one of my old buddies is named Rune Westberg. He and I have written a lot in the past. I love him. I trust him. He's a wonderful songwriter. So he and I wrote Bad Woman Blues. We wrote... What else did we write for the record? Oh, Thankful. We wrote Spanish Lullabies.
Oh, that's cool.
That's a fun song.
Yeah, you're playing with rhythm.
Oh, and Let It Grow. We wrote Let It Grow. And then there's one I did with a buddy of mine named James House. We did Sugar Shack. And then all the rest of the songs are just me. I wrote the music and lyrics. Yep.
Okay, so the instruments you used at the album?
I played the piano, all the piano on the record. And then we hired a band. Rob hired a band. So it's Vinny Caliuta on drums. And Tim Pierce on guitar. And Chris Cheney on bass. And then this amazing guy named Jamie, man. This dude is really great with synths and all that. And Rob's great with synth, too. Like adding string stuff and weird and strange things. They're all wonderful guys. All sensitive, good guys. And you know what? I was thinking about calling it Bad Woman Blues. I also was thinking about calling it Sister Dear, since the first song, Sister Dear, that is what got me with Rob Cavallo, who's the producer.
Yeah.
And also, it was a huge fight I had with my sister, and I was angry at her, and I wanted her to apologize to me, and I wouldn't talk to her, so we did therapy. Yeah, we did therapy, and on the first day of therapy, I just started hammering her in front of the therapist, and this therapist said, Beth, you are not coming from a place of love. And she said, yes, Beth. You are not coming from place love. And then knowing me, of course, I will internalize anything. I can't wait to be mad at myself. So I'm like, all right, I'm getting off the phone now. And I went downstairs and I wrote Sister Dear. And the beauty about that song is instead of me being mad at her, it's me asking her to forgive me for not being good to her. And it was surprising. That's the thing that's so cool about songwriting, is that you go there with one feeling, but the instrument or the whatever's going on in the world teaches you that, no, you're looking at it all from the wrong perspective. That's what I love. It's almost like there's something that's higher that's in the room that's trying to teach me how to live, how to look at love, look at my family. People need to hear that right there, though. Yeah, no, it's like for anyone in the world out there, anyone who might be listening to this, that you think that you are weak or you have things about you that aren't good enough, that's the gift, because there's going to be something else about you that's more than good enough. And you got to look for that, right?
You've always been oversensitive and you became a freaking
way
artist.
Way oversensitive. Like, terrible.
Amazing artist.
You know, it's
somehow
funny.
Somehow when you share your stories, they become our stories.
Well, I think that we all have these stories, and as different as we think we may be from one another, we're exactly the same, all of us. We all want to love. We all want to be loved. We want to feel like we're something and not nothing. We are all kind of scared to die. I mean, I know I am. I mean, I go to church. I pray to God, so I'm trying to believe, you know? And I don't know. I think it's kind of neat how the whole thing works. You know, like with my mental illness, like, of course, that sucks a lot of the time when I'm freaking out. But the beauty of it is it's very humbling. And again, it makes me reach out for help. And anytime I'm reaching out for help, whether it be to God or my husband or my mother or a stranger, and I'm saying, I need you, you can't be in a more wonderful place in the world. That's what we learn to love, right? So, yeah, I think it's all gifts, you know, especially the tough stuff. I think that's the greatest gifts. And I think that's part of why I change up the set a lot, is because I want to keep it a little scary and a little fresh. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So if it gets too rehearsed, then it seems fake to me. And
well, it has to be rehearsed in terms of if everything sounds good, if the instruments are connected and they sound okay.
Well, those guys can play. You know what I'm saying? And they know well over 100 songs. So it's really easy to change up the set every night for them. For me, it's not. For me, it's much more challenging. And I find that when I am in an uncomfortable and more challenged spot, I tend to be a little more present and honest. Whereas if it's too rehearsed for me,
planned and everything,
yeah, then it doesn't work at all. I would be bored out of my mind and I'd feel like the biggest phony. So that's probably why I change it up. Yeah.
So it's been a few years and a few nominations and a few albums and also a few awards ago that we last spoke.
Yes, it has, like, almost 7 years, right?
Wow. So tell me, what was the biggest moment in those years that we haven't seen each other, that the most important, maybe the biggest one?
You know, I don't look at career stuff as big stuff at all. That's on the back burner for me. I love songwriting very much. That's my love in this. Of course, I really love touring, not even for the shows. I love touring because we get to see the world and get to go new places and get to meet people and hear about what they believe in and hear about their politics and hear about their families and hear about their God and what they believe. And it's very humbling, and it's constantly letting me know that there are so many ways that people all over the world are living. And man, if we just freaking would talk a little more, we could get so many great pointers from other people. But I think that's the thing I love the most, is it's very humbling out here, you know? The thing I don't like is as soon as I start taking myself seriously as an artist on stage, that's bad. Because then it becomes about ego. And then the ego has got nothing, to me, godly in it. I think it's easier, actually, to write about difficult things than it is about surface stuff. I really do. I think the reason why people write is not to become rich and famous. It's such a crapshoot. Everybody knows that. Like, just going for it in this business is so freaking next to impossible. I think really why people write or why people sing or why people play is for one reason and only one reason. And that is because when they do it, they feel better. Their pain gets less. They get their stuff out. So I think it's really easy to write more vulnerable things than the lighter things, because you can't have everything heavy, right? So you want to have some hope, right? But I notice for me, if I'm forcing myself to write something hopeful, it's hard because I would rather be out in the garden or playing cards or cooking for my dad or something like that, doing something fun. Yeah. But when I go to the piano, it's always because I'm scared, I'm ashamed, something's going on that's hard. And it's always been that way since I was a little girl.